and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The man suspected of posing as a police officer while gunning down a Minnesota lawmaker and wounding another is facing state and federal charges. CBS's Jennifer Mayerly says more details are emerging about Vance Belter.
Prosecutors say Belter went to the homes of two more lawmakers on the night of the shootings. One was away on vacation, and the suspect left the other house after police approached him.
Former President Joe Biden spoke to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz on Saturday about the shootings. President Trump is in Canada to participate in the G7 summit. He says the U.S. signed a trade agreement with the U.K.
It's a fair deal for both. Going to produce a lot of jobs, a lot of income. And we have other many, many other ones coming.
A big day in college baseball.
The 1-2.
Arkansas's Gage Wood pitched the third no-hitter in College World Series history, as heard on ESPN. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. I'm sure you've heard, there's invasive species in some of our Wisconsin waters, and a few of our very own inland lakes and rivers contain aquatic diseases or small and hard-to-see invasive species, like the spiny water fleas.
They're pretty small organisms, so it is challenging to see them because they're translucent, they're kind of clear, but technically you can see them with the naked eye if you look very closely, because they'll often clump together with their neighbors and friends and make these kind of gummy, waddy clumps on fishing lines or fishing nets. But it'd be very easy for boaters and anglers to not see them floating in the water or floating in their live well.
That's Erin McFarlane, a statewide Clean Boats, Clean Waters educator with UWSP. They're a non-native invasive species that has caused a lot of challenges in Wisconsin lakes.
Refer to them sometimes as like little mini chicken nuggets. Young fish, juvenile fish will want to try to eat them, but because they have these spines on the back, it can often prevent them from being able to digest them, and so it can be deadly for the fish.
And they also outcompete other critters their size that are healthier for our waters.
And so whether you're kayaking or canoeing or fishing on the lake, making sure that you're looking at all of your fishing equipment, your boat that you're using, your gear, any other equipment that you're just enjoying if you're not out fishing for the day, removing anything attached, draining all of the water from anything that you have, because again, we just want to make sure we're not taking water from one place to another.
And Wisconsin law requires you to do it before leaving the boat launch or your fishing spot.
El Cafe might be closed on Mondays in Port Edwards, but there will be other options on Market Street this afternoon. At least 4 food trucks were planned to be in the area today, with El Sombrador staying until 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers conquer the Cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have today off after beating the Cardinals 3-2 before a Father's Day crowd of over 40,000 fans. Top of the ninth, Nolan Arenado representing the tying run after getting on base following a dramatic 12-pitch at-bat against the Brewers closer, Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy's reaction after the game, a sigh of relief.
Whew. I guess if anyone's considering whether or not Arenado's a Hall of Famer, that at-bat in the ninth, that's special. That was a tremendous at-bat. But then for McGill and Contreras to weave through that thing like they did, that's super special.
So the Brewers winning 3 out of 4 against St. Louis. They'll face the Cubs in Chicago tomorrow night. Boys High School lacrosse. The Wanakee Warriors held on to win 9-8 over Wales Kettle Moraine to win their first ever WIAA state championship. That match held over the weekend at Bank of Sun Prairie Stadium. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong, a low in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight storm chance, highs upper 70s to around 80. More storms likely on Wednesday.
Right now it's 80.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs.
Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking with James Small about rural EMS outreach across the state of Wisconsin and also fusion voting. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Schwabba.
I forgot about that one. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. All these bumpers are true, folks. That is me in a nutshell. I wear my heart on my sleeve. If I'm joking about something, it's usually true. I have read many books on the highway. Great to have you here. It is finally Monday, ladies and gentlemen. We are back at it, and it is great to be back in the air talking about the things we love in life, like movies and TV and comedy and theater and all kinds of fun stuff, some sports. We've got a big rivalry happening this week, Conrad. I thought I would get your thoughts on that. We've got some Cubs-Brewers happening.
Yeah. I'm excited to see if the Brewers can pull it off.
Think they can?
Yeah. I think we're only about like 4 games back now, so maybe even less. But
here's what I'm a Cub fan, but I'm trying to be unbiased here. And usually when I'm like that, I'm coming down against my team because that's usually the way it goes. But the Brewers were red hot lately, and the Cubs withstood it and kept the lead. Like, they're playing great baseball. The Cubs are for real, and I feel like the Brewers are for real, and I feel like it's going to come down to those two teams.
Yeah, it's looking like it. You know, the Cubs, I didn't expect them to be this hot this year, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
They surprised me.
It surprised me, too. But it's great when there's a good rivalry between the Bears and the Packers. Cubs and the Brewers, to a lesser degree, the Bucks and the Bulls. I don't think people are quite as passionate about that rivalry.
Well, Bulls, you know, they need some.
Oh, God, I hope the Cubs wipe the field with your Brewers this week if you're going to talk like that, young buck. The Bulls have been pretty bad. But even when they were, that's not the same as, I don't think, as the Bears and the Packers.
Oh, no.
Or the Cubs and the Brewers. But that's not to say it couldn't be. But we'll see what happens. Some fun stuff going on this week. We've got a great show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Sherry Stoka is here. She is a nutritionist and dietitian from Wellness MD. That is just outside of the Milwaukee area. Sherry's been on the show before, and I love picking her brain about all things health and nutrition and all that kind of stuff. So I think last time we got a couple texts for Sherry. So if you have nutritious questions or dietary questions, I think she had a lot of fun answering those last time. So share those with us, if you would, at 6:35. Conrad, you got any questions for Sherry? Anything on your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. That's at 6:35. We're going to talk a little bit about Ozempic, which she called it by the clinical name of GLP-1. I had never heard that. So, and then we'll talk about a lot of other stuff. Sherry's a great guest coming up in about a half an hour. And then a new guest. I'm always excited when we have new people on the show. Phil Krause will be here. Phil owns the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh. And we talked, I think it was Friday, we gave a shout out to Phil. He was showing The Magnificent Seven last night on Father's Day, the 2016 version. And they do some really cool stuff at the Time Community Theater. We'll talk to Phil about that. I think independent movie theaters are a treasure, especially when they do other things like not just host movies, but host different events too. And we need to do whatever we can, folks, to help these independent movie theaters, because I think the people that own them, it's a kind of a passionate thing. And they're very, into what they do, but they need the help and I think the support of the community. I know nothing. You know, Time Theater, he could be pulling in $10 million a year. I have no idea. I'm just saying in general, I would love it if we could all come together and support independent movie theaters. So that's our show for tonight regarding guests. We've got a great question. We're going to talk a little bit about, feel free to share your Father's Day events with us. If you had a good day, the phone lines are open. The text line is open, 855-752-4842. Man, I don't know where do we even start, Conrad. We got a lot to get to tonight, don't we?
Well, why don't we start with the question of the night?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is the best on-screen couple? Movies or TV, folks? Who do you like? I was kind of thinking about this earlier. I'm kind of like, I don't dislike rom-coms, but I don't seek them out. But I will say there was a very rom-com-y element to the show 1923, and I loved the relationship between Brandon Sklenar's character, who was a Dutton. And I've said this before on the show, Yellowstone, I got really bored with really quick, maybe sometime in season two. But I did like both prequels. I liked 1883 with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, and then I liked the 1923, two seasons of that with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. And this Brandon Sklenar, who played a Dutton nephew. And he gets married in season two. And I've never really liked watching romances develop on screen. There are some good ones. Maybe you think Titanic with Leo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Or Grease with Danny Zuko and Olivia Newton-John. Speaking of Olivia Newton-John, Paul Blart and his fellow mall employee. You got Ross and Rachel, Sam and Diane. There's all kinds of couples that have graced the big and little screen. So who is your favorite? I'm going to say 1923. I really liked that storyline. It was fun to kind of watch this couple fall in love. And I don't say that very often. So I really enjoy that. I thought they were, Brandon Sklenar's character was kind of this strong, silent type. He's sort of the hero. And then the woman he ended up marrying, whose fate did not turn out very well, I think her name was Julia Schlepfer. I don't know if I'm saying her last name right, but they were fun. They were a fun couple to watch. So let us know who your favorite on-screen couple is, big or little screen, TV or film, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, baby. You can text us on the app as well, or on the, if you're watching the radio on the stream, that's fine too, at YouTube, Facebook, or X, Twix, X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Would love to hear your thoughts, and we will read your text on the radio. Con, you got someone?
Yeah. I'm thinking Jamie Lannister and Cersei Lannister.
The Lannisters. Oh, they're a functional couple.
I'm just kidding. That's probably Thrones, the right? Worst one.
Wait, which one? Jamie Lannister was
their brother and sister.
I thought, oh, so she took his name or what? I didn't know what. Okay.
Yeah, that was a bad one from Game of Thrones.
Look, they're very compatible. Don't judge. You know what? This is the 19.
I will say, you probably know where I'm going to go with this.
Lay it on me.
How I Met Your Mother.
I knew you were going to say that.
Lily Pad and Marshmallow.
I don't even know their nicknames. I really don't know that show. I got to check it out.
It's Lily and Marshall, yeah.
That's what they see, the marshmallow thing. That's kind of stomach turning.
Lily Pad? You like that one?
Lily Pad Marshmallow? I like Lily Pad better than Marshmallow. God, if I was like a dude and somebody started calling me Marshmallow, I don't think I'd like that very much.
Well, he said, you know, he's kind of a big kind of.
Is that Jason Segel's character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Husky guy?
Yeah. You could probably pull it off.
But he's like 7 foot.
He's just a big teddy bear, though, apparently.
Yeah.
A little soft on the inside.
You know, I really like their development with their, because the first episode, it's Jason Segel's character proposing.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, they just go through a lot of adversity through the whole show. It's all 9 seasons.
It's funny because I love Cheers. I'm kind of in, that's, Cheers is like my go-to show when I'm laying in bed at night and I want to laugh before I go to sleep. and Sam and Diane are so volatile and contentious. That's typically the kind of couple I like to watch. I don't know what that says about me. You know, my wife and I are pretty emotional people. We have our arguments, but we had an argue jar at one point. Throw a dollar into a jar when you argue.
Okay.
By the end of the year, had enough to vacation in Hawaii for 3 weeks. No, but we I don't mind that. I think watching people arguing is funny. And George Costanza and anybody he dated loved all that stuff with all his neuroses. But I would say 1923, Brandon and Alexandra, the Dutton, and what was her name on the show? I got to find this out now. She was just Alexandra and he was Spencer Dutton. Right. Okay. Conrad says, How I Met Your Mother. No surprise there. What do you say? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Man, I'm getting more and more distracted by people that walk by the window here.
Gelato?
And I want to wave. I don't know if it's gelato or if it's just downtown Green Bay in the summertime, but it's sort of like, it's kind of hopping. It's better than in the winter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not a lot of people want to go for a walk in the winter.
Certainly not down here. So how was your, all right, I have to ask you, because you did a, you went to a comedy show.
I did, yes.
A very filthy comedian.
Yes. I can't repeat anything he said.
It would just be bleeps.
Yep.
Wow, that's kind of impressive.
You know, you never know what he was going to, because I've went to his shows before, and every time I'm like, I wonder if he's going to reuse something.
Yeah.
He didn't reuse one thing.
That's pretty impressive.
From his last show. And the last show I saw him was like 2 years ago now. But he also put out two specials on YouTube between that time, and he didn't use any of those jokes he used in that special either.
And I'd say let's play a clip, but it doesn't sound like we could even pull it off here on
live I would radio. Have to do a lot of bleeping.
Just play a bleep and we'll get an idea of his potty mouth. How long did he do? How long was he on stage?
So it was about 50 minutes, I think.
50?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was opening act?
There was a 15-minute opener, which he was pretty funny. He's pretty good.
Those are the sweet spots, man. I used to love opening because like when you open at a theater, like I opened for Huey Lewis in the News in Myrtle Beach, and it's just such a sweet gig. It's like good money. And, you know, you don't have to do that long either. And the crowd is there like they paid big money to be there. They're ready to laugh. You get no jackasses or no hecklers. Typically, I mean, unless you really suck, you probably would get that. But
this one says that we don't do any heckling at all or you'll be thrown out.
Where was it?
It was the Improv in Brookfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And the big thing that they made a joke about it was is that it's in a strip mall. And they kept talking about that it's in a strip mall in Brookfield.
Okay.
And I'm surprised anyone showed up.
Well, that sounds like fun. I had a good Father's Day. Did you talk to your dad yesterday?
Well, my dad was back in town. Yeah.
He's in Wisconsin. That's right.
Well, he's I believe he's on a flight right now.
Back to Flo? Back to Fla?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we went out to dinner.
It's nice that he came to you on Father's Day.
Actually, I went to Appleton and then because he was staying at my brother's house.
Okay. Just your dad or your mom too?
Just my dad.
Nice.
My dad came back to check up on grandma. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good day. I like to do nothing on those days. I don't like to make decisions. I don't like to really be talked too much. I just like to play video poker, maybe watch a movie, take a walk, play some soccer golf. But we did go to my folks for dinner, and I was glad the Cubs won yesterday, so my dad was happy because he gets really – this is what my dad did, and he's done this a couple times more recently. He's like, Pete – because I watched the last three innings of the Cub game with him, and it ended in a tie. So I'm like, well, I got to go. You know, so I go back later, and he says, oh, the Cubs pulled it out in the 10th. Pull up the highlights. So as I pull up the highlights on my phone to put it to their TV, he tells me play-by-play what happened. I'm like, Dad, I got the highlights right here.
I want to watch it.
I wanted to watch it, but he was excited. So it was a good Father's Day all around. Spent some time with my daughter. She got me some nice gifts. Lots of fun. So I hope all the dads out there had a great day. We are doing it Monday style here at Nightlight, folks. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay all over the beautiful state of Wisconsin on what is finally a warm day here. Hope you're having a great day. And we are coming back with maybe some Bill Burr. What else did I say we might play?
Well, whose birthday is it?
Laurie Metcalf. Oh, we got a funny clip from her. And we'll read your text. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, hello and welcome into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and well, we have a great game ready for you. In today's pregame show, we've got plenty in store as well. The Rafters getting ready to take on the Traverse City Pit Spitters. It'll be the Rafters against the Pit Spitters in their first matchup of the season. Last night, it didn't go Wisconsin Rapids' way. They ended up dropping to the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders on the road, 10-9 on a walk-off hit. And all the Rafters now have dropped four games in a row, but there's still plenty to be optimistic about. The Rafters have had plenty of bright spots, even in these losses. And you look to last night's game, it was really both the offense and the pitching that, again, stood out. Again, it was the errors, though, that ended up causing the loss. Four of the runs that came across were unearned. All of them, the final four, that allowed the Dock Spiders to make the comeback. The Rafters led 9-5 entering the eighth inning, but three runs in the eighth and two runs in the ninth doomed Wisconsin Rapids. Taking a look at last game for Traverse City, they dropped the game 3-1. And on the season, Traverse City sits at 9-11. So both the Rafters and the Pit Spitters have been in a little bit of a struggle, and the Rafters hoping that they can end theirs with a win today at home in front of the Wisconsin Rapids faithful. Taking a look at the pitching matchup, it's going to be left-hander Noah Marchke for the Rafters, making his third start of the season. And for the Pit Spitters, it's right-hander Nick Mirabella, who makes his fourth start of the season after striking out 10 in his last appearance. We've got a pregame guest for you lined up in just a little bit. It's Madden Akko. We'll come back with that pregame interview and starting lineups and a further breakdown of the starting pitchers when we come back. All of that returns on the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
And welcome back into your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me as our pregame guest for today, it's Madden Akko. And Madden, it's been a pretty hot start to the season for you. How are you feeling right now?
Definitely comfortable at the plate, I would say. It's a lot easier to be in a groove, especially when you're playing every single day compared to the college season where it's only, you know, three or four games a week. So it's a lot easier to just not, you know, dwell upon things and kind of take everything in stride.
Well, you haven't really had much to dwell upon, you know, early start to the season. You know, your batting average through the roof right now. You've just been getting, you know, hit after hit after hit, it feels like. What are you kind of seeing out there, and what's allowed you to be so successful in the early on in the season?
I think it's just been my approach. Like, I've been super aggressive at the plate, and I really like swinging the bat within the first or second pitch of every single at bat, just because, you know, that's usually when you're going to get the best pitches to hit. And I don't want to be living in two strike counts and, you know, letting the pitcher get ahead. So as long as I'm aggressive and stick to my approach, I think I'll continue to find success.
You know, that's something that I've heard a lot of the batters saying to me, you know, in these interviews. It's, you know, hey, get aggressive early in the counts. But one of the things that I've been seeing lately is that the pitchers for the other teams have been able to go late into games because their pitch count isn't getting worked up. How do you kind of balance, you know, attacking pitches early in the count versus also working plate appearances so that you can get those pitchers out of the game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like you can't walk the line when it comes to something like that. Like, you have to be dead set on what you want to swing at. You can't be, you know, swinging at curveballs first or second pitch in the count, even if it looks like it's going to be a strike. Like, you have to be dead red on a fastball. And if you're swinging at a pitcher's pitch early in the count, even if it's a strike, then you're making mistakes that allow the pitcher to, you know, execute their plan. So it's kind of a little bit of chess at the plate where you're not trying to give the pitcher too much ball. You're also trying to stick to an approach and really attack on something that you think you can drive.
Would you say you take first pitch kind of the same way that you would take a 3-1 count?
Yeah, I think most hitters' counts I approach the same way, like 0-0, 1-0, 2-1, 3-1, 2-1. Even a 3-2 count, like, I'm really expecting a fastball in those counts, so I'm kind of dead red on most of those counts. And then everything else I can be a little bit more defensive on, but I think every hitter's count I approach the same way.
Well, you know, there's a lot of good stuff to talk about your play, but as a team right now, it's been a 4-game losing streak. You know, getting things into the right direction, what do you think it's going to take for the team to kind of get rolling along and start seeing more wins?
I think it's just the little things. I mean, you've seen our offensive numbers and you've seen the pitching staff come through. You know, we're putting up a lot of runs per game, and we're able to, you know, shut down innings sometimes. Our bullpen's been really good. I think it's just some of the little things in the field, obviously, that, you know, are preventing us from wins. And then also just a little bit better energy in the locker room, I would say. People pick each other up and then dug out. Like, nobody wants to be living on an island out here. Everybody wants to be having a great time with their teammates, no matter if you had a bad at bat or hit a home run. Everyone wants to have kind of the same energy in the dugout. So I think those are some of the smaller things that help us, you know, win a game today.
Kind of gel together, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Has there been anyone in particular that you've kind of seen picking everyone else up?
I mean, to be fair, I've only been here, you know, for half the game so far, so I haven't really had the full experience. But I think the guys who don't play every game do a really good job compared to what I've experienced in college. Like, the guys who aren't starting the game do a really good job of picking guys up who are playing, you know, just the small things, getting their glove or a high five or a slap on the butt after an at-bat. So I would say shout out to the bench guys for bringing the energy, even if they're not playing.
Well, you mentioned, you know, playing collegiately, and this past season at Fordham, able to work
quite a lot of plate appearances up there. I mean, what was that experience like for you, and how do you kind of think that it's helped you early on in the season here?
I mean, definitely it's helped me a lot. My freshman year, I only played like 2/3 of the games, but being able to play almost 100% of the games this past season was super nice, and getting a lot of at-bats really is just – and it's not a experience that too many people get to get, and it's the information you get from those kinds of experiences where you're just learning constantly at-bat to at-bat and really being able to talk to yourself and your mind and know what you want to do each time you step up to the plate is really something that I think has helped me a lot in summer ball.
Well, that's really all the questions I've got for you. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just happy to be here. You know, I'm here for the whole ride, so I'm excited to turn things around a little bit. And we have the ball club to go on a little run and win this division.
Well,
so
hopefully we'll see a win tonight then.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was Matt and Akko here on the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show. Quick break, and when we come back, starting lineups and a starting pitcher breakdown here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sport.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryant experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Hey baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Let's get back to the Rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here on WFHR, thank you so much for tuning in to the game as the Rafters get ready to take on the Pit Spitters on the mound to start things off for the Rafters. As I mentioned earlier, it's Noah Marschke as he will be going up against Nick Mirabella on the mound for the Pit Spitters. And taking a look at the starting lineups for these two teams, the Traverse City Pit Spitters are going to be starting with me leading off. He's at second base. Piasecki is batting second. He's in left field. Sanchez bats third at shortstop. Roseman bats fourth, and he is in center field. In right field, it's Iriotakis, and he bats fifth. Batting sixth, it's Broski behind the plate. Batting seventh, Herndon playing first base. Batting eighth, it's the designated hitter, Coupe. And batting ninth to close out the lineup, it's the third baseman, Collins. Now taking a look at the starting lineup for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Leading things off and playing shortstop, it's Mason Onyade. And Onyade back in that leadoff spot after a couple days out of it. Batting second, it's the second baseman, Noah Ruiz, who leads the Northwoods League in RBIs. Batting third, Gunnar Miro. Miro back in center field. He's got a hit in his first three games as a Rafter. Batting fourth, it's the cleanup man, Royce Clayton Jr., and he made his return to the lineup yesterday. Batting fifth, it's Ashton Zacher. He's back behind the plate. Batting sixth, It is Madden Ocko. He is back at first base. He made a nifty play yesterday defensively, batting seventh. It's Hiroto Kobayashi. He's back in right field. Batting eighth, it's Jack Guerrero. And batting ninth, it is the final guy in the order for the Rafters, Luke Skinner, making his return. His first pitch here is hit over to shortstop, back over to first, a long throw, but he's able to make it. Mason Onyade at 6:35 p.m. first pitch. It is hit for a 6-3 ground out. Me up at the plate and just couldn't quite get it there. And when I say me, of course, I don't mean myself. I mean Grady me. Me, the leadoff batter for the pit spitters. It's one up, one down for Noah Marschke. And now batting second, it is Piasecki. He's the left fielder. This pitch taken on the outside edge for strike number one. And Piasecki, he is a guy from Central Michigan University. Aaron Piasecki, and comes up to the plate here to take on the lefty Marschke, and takes that pitch in for strike number two. So Marschke starting off hot here. Batting behind him, it's the shortstop Sanchez, and we'll get to him in a little bit, but he's on deck, Brandon Sanchez. Batting right now, though, Aaron Piasecki. And the 0-2 is a little bit inside and kind of chases him out of the box as it now rolls to a 1-2 count. And the pit spitters enter today's matchup 9-11 on the season. They've lost their last two in a row, trying not to make it three. This one ripped to the right side, just off the glove of a diving Madden Ocko over at first base. It gets into right field. Kobayashi, he'll throw it back in, but it's a one-out single for Aaron Piasecki. And Noah Marschke, you look at his last time out, he was able to go at season-high five innings, and he picked up the first win for a Rafters starting pitcher on the season. A little bit of a surprise with the way that things have gone, but it was indeed the first win for a Rafters pitcher. Rafters starters are on their record 1-7, but of course it's a lot more difficult for a starter to get a win as this pitch misses outside to Brandon Sanchez to bring it 1-0. Starters have to go at least five innings in order to be eligible for a win. Makes it a little bit difficult as now Marschke brings it on home. This one's a high chopper over to second base. Ruiz running up on it, and just avoiding the tag is the runner Piasecki, but Brandon Sanchez is thrown out at first base, so a 4-3 put out, but Piasecki does go into scoring position as there is now a runner on second with two outs in the top of the first. And the pit spitters, an intra-divisional opponent as they are in the Great Lakes East. And it's a tight divisional race over there, subdivisional race, I should clarify. Up at the plate now, it's Brett Roseman. Pitch on the way home, it's just a bit outside for ball number one. And that one didn't miss by much, and that's what we've seen from Marschke today so far, is he's been accurate at finding his spot, very consistent around the plate, hoping to keep it that way. And that's what he's done in the start of these games so far. He went four innings in his first start, as this pitch misses a little low for ball number two, a 2-0 count. He's made two starts so far. His first start, he went four innings, and both of the runs that he allowed came in the fourth. And his last start, he allowed five runs, four of them were earned, and went five innings. All four of the earned runs came in the fourth inning or later, so he has yet to allow an earned run in the first three innings as a check swing from the plate. He holds back on it as the count rolls to 3-0 for the center fielder, Roseman. Roseman enters today batting .314 on the season, although that OPS only at .782. He is more of a recent addition, so not quite a large sample size, as the pitch on the way home is in there for strike number one. And you're not really going to see batters swinging at a 3-0 count. A lot of the time they just like to take that. And, you know, I was talking with Madden Ocko a little bit earlier today about, you know, what is his approach from the plate. And we'll get to see him at the plate and hopefully the bottom of the first. But that one misses just a bit, and it's ball number four. So the first walk of the game for Noah Marschke, puts runners on first and second with two outs in the top of the first. And Marschke, he has issued six walks in his nine innings. That'll be number seven. And it brings up Charlie Iriotakis. Iriotakis from William & Mary. Chance to bring in another RBI as he takes the first pitch inside for ball number one. Brings it 1-0. And Iriotakis, a native of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It's a 1-0 count on the way home, but it misses outside for ball number two. It's now 2-0 to Iriotakis. Iriotakis, the right fielder for the Pitt Spitters. And a quick mound visit here between the Rafters starting catcher Ashton Zacher and his man on the mound. I like to always talk things over, and this is kind of a key thing that, you know, Zacher does. Not just him, but really anyone who's behind the plate. A lot of times you see him early in these games going up there, just making sure that their pitcher is in the right mindset. You know, first inning, it can never hurt to make sure that you're all ready to go. Especially with runners on first and second, could be a key opportunity. The Pitt Spitters have struggled offensively. It's been a while since they've really had an explosive game as the 2-0 count misses inside, and that hits him. Hit by pitch to load the bases in the first inning and not the execution that Marschke wanted. Iriotakis onto first base as Brett Roseman goes to second and Aaron Piasecki goes to third. Still two outs and a 0-0 ball game as it brings up Adam Broski. That's a cool last name. You know what? That would be a great name to have, Broski. Well, Broski's at the plate, right-handed batter. He goes to Michigan State on the season, batting 259, takes the first pitch a little high for ball number one. Broski is the catcher for tonight for the Pitt Spitters. And a lot of times you look at catchers as known for their defense, but Broski's been able to drive in five runs already in the season. He has the bases loaded here, 1-0 count, a little bit outside to bring it 2-0. And Marschke, as soon as I started saying something about him locating well, it's been a little bit of a struggle to find the strike zone. Nine of his last 10 pitches have missed for a ball, and the 2-0 count on the way home, that one is right across the plate to bring it 2-1, and a much-needed strike there. After prior to that, it had been six straight balls. Broski up at the plate has a 2-1 count. Right-handed hitter, so it's a righty-lefty matchup. Base is loaded. The 2-1 count is fouled back. And one strike away from getting out of this inning. And Marschke really hoping to do so. And you look at the stats this season, I righty-lefty stats, it's something that I used to really not like. But as of late, I've been growing to gain an appreciation for it, and when you talk to really anyone in the game of baseball, they'll tell you just how important it is, those righty-lefty matchups, and surprisingly, Marschke's done a good job against right-handed hitters this season. It is still a small sample size, but he's gone 3 2/3 innings against righties alone and holding them to a .231 batting average. OPS at .668 entering today. And well, he's got that matchup here. Righty at the plate, lefty on the mound. 2-2 count with two away and the bases loaded. Pitch on the way is fouled back. And that's the pitch that Marschke wanted to see. And it's all got to do with getting that confidence back and just feeling good. And that's one of the things that Marschke told me after his last start. We had him on as our pregame guest of the show, as Matt and Akko was today. Marschke was that a few days ago. 2-2 count in here is fouled back once again. And one of the things that Marschke said is last season he signed with the Rafters after playing in his high school baseball league over the summer. So he was competing with a bunch of different high schoolers, and then all of a sudden, He's here in the Northwoods League near the end of the season. He was with the team the final 3 weeks of the regular season. Got three appearances, and he said, man, I was expecting to get tossed around as this one is once again fouled away down that left field line and towards the Rafters bullpen. Good plate appearance from Adam Broski, pitch number 8 coming up. But you look at last season, Marschke said, well, after I didn't get crushed like he kind of thought that he would be, he said it gave him some confidence, especially heading into his first year with Madison Area Community College. 2-2 count on the way is sent towards right field on the run. Kobayashi, he's under it and makes the catch for out number 3. A big out number 3 with the bases loaded. Marschke's able to work out of it. No runs on the one hit, no errors, and 3 left on base. It's tied at 0 heading into the bottom of the first here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Mikusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
And the bottom of the first about to get underway. Our first look at the Rafters offense for today. They're going to be led off by Mason Onyade. Onyade, the shortstop. He'll be followed by Noah Ruiz and Gunnar Miro. That's the 1-2-3 batters in the frame. And they'll be taking on the pitcher for the Traverse City Pit Spitters, the right-hander, Nick Mirabella. And Mirabella this season, well, he's had some up and down games. Last game was certainly an up game, and so was his season debut back on May 26th against Rockford. He went on the road and pitched 5 innings of one-run ball, allowing just 2 hits. His last time, he went 6 1/3 with 10 Ks against Green Bay 1 week ago. But that appearance in the middle, he got knocked around a bit by Kalamazoo. So the Rafters hoping to do the same thing here, and Onyade gets the first look at him as Onyade will take him on and pops the first pitch up towards the left side of the infield. Towards third base, he is under it, as that is Cade Collins who makes the catch for out number 1. And, you know, one of the things that you look at in this game is going to be the approach from the plate. And obviously defense is going to be a key for the Rafters as well, but when you look at the offensive side of the game, one of the biggest problems that they've had has been going up against dominant pitchers, and the reason why it's been so tough is because they haven't been really working counts all too much. This pitch outside for ball number 1 as it's Noah Ruiz up at the plate, the 2-hole batter. He's a right-handed hitting second baseman. Righty-righty matchup from the plate. And the pitch on the way is sent high in the air down the right field line. Running over to it, the first baseman, and he can't quite make the catch over the tarp as it bounces into the bullpen. And, well, that was nearly a big catch for the Pit Spitters first baseman, Hunter Herndon, but instead it drops harmlessly in foul territory to bring the count 1-1. Long track back to second base for Grady Mee, and now we're ready to go with a 1-1 count and one away. Nobody on in the bottom of the first. It's tied at zero. Pitch coming home. Off speed drops in there for strike number two. A 1-2 count to Ruiz. And Mirabella, a senior pitcher. He's one of the guys that is eligible, but you're only allowed to have so many graduated seniors on your roster, as that pitch missed inside to bring it 2-2. And well, seems like it's been a good choice so far. They've had a couple of good appearances from him. 2-2 count with one away on the way home to Onyade. He grounds it over to third, trying to beat it out. It's going to be a tough play. Five back to three. Just got him off the hop on the throw. And that's a great pick by Hunter Herndon to record the second out of the first inning. 5-3 on the put out, and it brings up Gunnar Myro with the bases empty and two away in the bottom of the first. Gunnar Myro, the right-handed hitting center fielder for the Rafters, made his first start in center field yesterday, but that's his natural position. It's where he played almost all of this past season with UNLV. Takes the first pitch inside for ball number one, and well, trying to work a good plate appearance here as Myro just watched that first pitch. And that's what you want to see up there, is just patience. Patience, patience, patience. 1-0 count. He holds off on a pitch outside, brings it 2-0. Myro, he has a hit in each of his first three games for the Rafters, making his debut back on Thursday. Actually, I think it was Friday. 2-0 count. This is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. And Myro, he is one of those reinforcements that Ziggy likes to call the cavalry. And it really was hoping to turn things around as the 2-1 count misses away to bring it 3-1. But the Rafters currently riding a four-game loss streak. Although I certainly wouldn't say that it's Myro's fault. I mean, he's looked pretty dang good out there since his arrival. Defensively, he made a couple of nice tracks in the outfield yesterday and the day before. Did make an error in the first game, but he was getting his feet under him as the 3-1 count misses outside, and Myro's on base for the fourth game this season. All four games he's reached base, but it's the first base runner to get aboard for the Rafters. Brings up Royce Clayton Jr. with two outs and a runner on first base, looking to score the first run of the game for either team. Clayton, the right-handed hitting left fielder for the Rafters. He previously was the center fielder before Myro got in. Diaz played a little bit over him before Clayton's injury, as this pitch is in there for strike number one. And man, Clayton has been great defensively, and to start the season, he was really strong at the plate. He led the team in extra base hits for the first week and a half until Noah Ruiz really started to find his groove. And then Clayton got injured, didn't really have much of a chance. This one hit up the middle, over to shortstop. It's picked up and flipped over to second, and it goes 6-4 on the fielder's choice to retire Royce Clayton Jr., and that does it for the first inning. So the Rafters, they don't score any runs on no hits, no errors, and leave one on base. It is 0-0 heading into the second. We'll return with more Rafters baseball when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Make a splash this summer on your brand new jet ski. It's Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Ride the Wave giveaway. Earn entries now to have a chance to win not one, but two Kawasaki jet skis on June 28th. Also, multiple winners of cash prizes of up to $1,000. On weekends, it's Summer Night Rewards. Receive $25 in free rewards play. And on Sundays, spin the Sunny Money Wheel to win up to $500 in cash. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Must be 21. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful constantly.
concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
And we head into the second inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. Thanks for tuning in to Rafters Baseball. As it's Noah Marschke back out there on the mound. He had a scoreless first inning, but it didn't come without its share of scares as he loaded the bases with two outs. He was able to work out of the jam, however, and hoping to keep that rolling along into the second inning. His first batter is Hunter Herndon, and he airmails the first one to bring it a 1-0 count. As Herndon, the right-handed hitting first baseman, and a little odd that both starting first basemen tonight bat from the right side of the plate. Don't see that all too often. It's not like it's rare for a first baseman to bat right-handed. This pitch is upstairs for ball number two, brings it 2-0. It's a lot more rare for them to throw right-handed, however. 2-0 count on the way home to Herndon, and Marschke misses this one low to bring it 3-0, and Marschke's command a little off to start this second inning. And obviously you want to get back with a strike right down the middle, but you can't leave it too much over the plate for the batter to hit. Even still, 3-0 count, that's in there for strike number one, and that's the pitch that he wanted to throw. It's a little bit on the outside, it's not right down the middle, but he was able to get the strike pretty easily. 86 miles an hour on the gun, and Herndon this season batting just 0-48. Really struggling out the gates as he fouls this one back to bring it 3-2. But Herndon really a big talent for this squad, a guy from Michigan State, a native of Harrison Township, Michigan. Looking to make the transition into the Northwoods League, and the pitch here is once again fouled away. But this is what you see opposing teams do against the Rafters time and time again, and it's work up those pitch counts over and over and over again. And it really causes some problems. We saw 22 pitches in the first inning for Marschke. Only 13 for Nick Mirabella, despite the base runner allowed, as that pitch is in there. Called strike three. Caught him looking as Herndon was walking down towards first base. He thought it was a walk, but now he heads back towards the dugout. Well, he's walking the wrong way if he thought he was getting on base, and it brings up Nathaniel Coupe with one out and the base is empty. Coupe, a right-handed hitting designated hitter for the Pitt Spitters. It's a righty-lefty matchup as this pitch misses low to bring it 1-0. And Coupe enters the game batting 118 on the season. Limited sample size at that, but still, obviously, would love to be hitting better. The 1-0 count hits the inside edge. Home plate umpire Logan Ellenwood gives it to him, and that one was right on the edge. A good spot for Marschke to put it. That's where he's wanting to go, but he's been missing that spot a little too often. 1-1 count on the way, gets a swing and a miss, and now has a lead in the count, 1-2. From the lefty Marschke, he's pitched at least four innings in his first two outings this season, hoping to make it at least three in a row, but we'll see if he can do so. 1-2 count on the way is ripped over to shortstop. Onyade is there, picks it up off of one hop. The soft throw to first can't be picked up by Akko. He's rounding for second, and the throw across from Akko, it is picked up by Onyade, but he is safe there at second. So a two-base error, and that is a big deal for the Rafters after they have really struggled defensively over the last couple of games. And you felt pretty good about that one. It was a great job fielding the ball from Onyade, but he just took too much time and he really lofted the throw over there to first base. And you know, sometimes you get into games and you say, hey, I'm not going to make any errors. And so you take some air off the ball. You say, okay, I'm going to kind of loft it over there, make sure that it's on schedule. But when you change the way that you throw the ball, it lands differently than you're used to. As the first pitch to Cade Collins is in there for strike number one, it's an 0-1 count. And well, officially, they actually make it an E3 in the books. Called an error on Madden Akko, and close one at that. 0-1 count is hit up the middle, and Onyade can't grab it in off the liner, but it does keep the runner on second base. Coupe doesn't decide to go, so it now puts runners on first and second with only one out after Cade Collins singles. And Marschke trying to avoid the damage here, but really hasn't been able to. As well, the Rafters bullpen is getting work early, and it's a little bit of a surprise. Maybe not too much, but it would be his first appearance of the season. It's Cam Douglas who's warming up over there, one of the two-way players for the Rafters. He's only appeared as a batter so far, as this pitch misses outside for